Lovely. Well, we are going to read from the New International Version, and it's Philippians 3, and it's verses 10 through to 16. Philippians 3, verses 10 to 16. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view on things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And now over to you, Mike.
Thank you so much, Susanna. And it was so good to see the girls waving to us like that. Someone said in the comments we must do that more often, and we really must. But thank you.
Lovely. Did you like the chickens?
And lovely to hear the chickens in the background. Friends, we're in Philippians 3. It'd be great help to me if you could keep Philippians 3, verses 10 to 16 open in front of you. We saw last week that the heart of the Christian life is not rules or rituals, but relationship. It's knowing Christ. And Paul is in prison, remember? And what does he want? Well, what would you want in prison? What would you want? Good food? A warm bed? You want to see your family, wouldn't you? I take it above all, you'd want to be free. But Paul is doing a very striking thing. Paul is teaching the Philippians and teaching us that there is something better than good food and warm bed and seeing your family. Something that's better even than being freed. There is knowing Christ. You see what he says in verse 10? I want to know Christ. I'm in prison, but what I want is to know Christ, to know the Christ who is loving and kind and humble and wise and fair and powerful, as we heard, and yet gentle. The Christ who feels for you, understands you. The Christ who laid down his life for you. He says, knowing him. It's better than anything else in all the world. That's what he wants. And friends, I wonder, how is your relationship with Christ? How is knowing him going? Maybe you feel you used to know him really well. You look back on days past when you were really close to him. He was so real to you. Perhaps it was when you first became a Christian. On that summer camp, or perhaps it was way back before you had children. You were on fire for him. And you're wondering what happened? What happened to your relationship with him? Maybe it's just been the past few months. You've been so busy, the pressure at work, and then you've been homeschooling the children and rearranging your holidays and decluttering the house and doing the DIY, and then you've been unwell. And you've been lonely, and you've been so weary. The truth is, your relationship with him has has gone a bit stale. And you want to know him better. You do. But you've got a bit stuck. Well, here's what Paul says to you and to me. He says, you want to know Christ? Go the way of the cross and keep going all the way to heaven. Go the way of the cross and keep going all the way to heaven. I'm going to break that into two halves. First, go the way of the cross. Look at verses 10 to 11. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You see, I want to know Christ. Knowing Christ means knowing the power of his resurrection. In other words, the Jesus we know was raised from the dead and is alive today. And we've not just kind of read about him in a book. We've met him. And this Jesus who was raised to new life, he has been powerfully at work in us, giving us new life with him, making us more like him, until one day we will be raised from the dead to be with him face to face. Did you see that in verse 11? And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. When Paul says somehow, I should just say, he's not saying he's not really sure how, or if it's going to happen, rather. He's just not sure exactly how it's going to happen, but he's sure one day we will be raised to be with Christ. And that's the day we will know Christ perfectly. So that's the day Paul longs for. He wants to know Christ. But do you see what he says in the middle of these verses? I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Is that striking? He says, you want to get to know Jesus? You want to know the power of his resurrection at work in your life? Say, oh, yes, please. Then you need to participate in his sufferings. You need to become like him in his death. We say, what? Think of it like this. It is foolish. Does this help, though? If you want to get to know someone, you have to do what they do. So say you want to get to know Cecil, our friend Cecil, and Cecil is a very keen bird watcher. He's always out there twitching. You want to get to know him. You want to find out what makes him tick, what he's really like. What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to go out bird watching with him. You're going to have to spend some time with him, alongside him, go where he goes, do what he does, share in what he loves. That's how friendships grow, isn't it? That's how you really get to know someone. You spend time with them doing the things they love, and you find out about them, what they really like. What does Jesus really love? He loves to obey his Father. That's why he was prepared to enter our world. That's why he was prepared to love people who are hard to love. It's why he served those around him. It's why he stood up for justice. It's why he went to the cross, laid down his life for us. So you want to know Jesus? You want to grow closer to him? Then spend time with him doing the things he loves. Go his way. The way of obedience to God, whatever it costs. The way of the cross. John Calvin said, all true knowledge of God is born out of obedience. See, there is a danger. There's a danger. We read about Christ's ways in the Bible, and then we close the Bible and we go back to whatever we had planned to do that day. You know, we just go back to the box sets. And the result of that is we become people who know about him, but we don't actually know him very well. All true knowledge of God is born out of obedience. See, if I actually want my friendship with Cecil to grow, it's not just enough for me to kind of clock that he is a bird watcher. Okay, I've understood that. No, I've got to go out bird watching with him. Got to get out there. If I actually want my relationship with Jesus to grow, it's not enough just to clock that he goes the way of the cross. I've got to get up and follow him and live the way he shows me. And friends, that's what Paul has done. He says, I will go the Jesus way, the way of obedience to God, whatever the cost. And that's why Paul's ended up in prison. That's why he's suffering. That's why he's becoming like Christ in his death. But you see, the fact that he is suffering is a sign of resurrection power in his life. Because if Jesus wasn't alive, if Jesus wasn't powerfully at work in Paul, Paul would never have gone to prison. He used to hate Jesus. He used to throw people in prison who followed Jesus. But you see, Jesus has powerfully raised Paul from death to life. And now Paul is traveling around the world preaching the good news of Jesus, and he's been beaten for it and flogged for it, and now he's sent to prison for it. And you see, by himself, never would have done that, never could have done that. The only explanation for Paul's life, for Paul there in prison, is that Jesus is alive and Jesus is with him and Jesus is at work in him. And his resurrection power is giving Paul strength to do what he never could have done alone. And in his experience of loneliness and suffering for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of others, Paul is getting a taste of what Jesus went through. He's learning more of Jesus. He's getting to know him better. The great puzzle for the Philippians is, Paul, you're in prison, but why are you so full of joy? You're in prison. And Paul's constant answer in this letter is, yeah, it is hard in prison. I'm not pretending it's easy in prison, but you see, through it all, I am getting to know Jesus better. I am going the way of the cross, which means I am getting to know the risen Jesus better. Therefore, I rejoice. I rejoice. Because there's nothing that beats getting to know Jesus better. And what Paul experienced is what Christians down the ages have experienced. They've known times when they've said it was hard following Jesus. Going the way of the cross cost us, but we rejoice. We rejoice because through it we got to know him better. One of my favorite examples of that is Hudson Taylor when he first went to China. It's a quote here we've actually got up in our loo, but I love it. When he first got to China, it was really hard. And he writes these words. He says, at home, you can never know what it is to be alone, absolutely alone, amidst thousands, without one friend, one companion, everyone looking on you with curiosity, with contempt, with suspicion, or with dislike. Thus to learn what it is to be despised and rejected of men, of those you wish to benefit, your motives not understood but suspected, thus to learn what it is to have nowhere to lay your head, and then to have the love of Jesus applied to your heart by the Holy Spirit, his holy, self-denying love, which led him to suffer this and more than this. For me, this is precious. This is worth coming for. You hear that? It's worth it. If he'd never given up everything and gone to China, if he'd never gone the way of costly obedience, the way of the cross, he'd never have known the sweetness of having the love of Jesus applied to his heart like that. Friends, do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know the power of his resurrection transforming your life? Go the way of the cross. Open up your Bible. See the way Jesus goes and follow him. Give money away to someone who needs it more than you do. Stay up late on the phone to talk to someone who's in a bad way. Make the meals for those who are ill and housebound and take them round even though you are dog tired. Go on caring for the person you love who is ill, and it's relentless and it's relentless. Go on. Travel to Uganda. Start an orphanage, as we were hearing earlier. Find a way to tell your friend about Jesus, even though you know when you tell them they'll look down on you. Do it. Just do it. See, if you just read about it and then don't do anything about what you read, well, you will never experience the power of the risen Christ. You see, I can watch box sets all by myself. I don't need the resurrection power of Jesus to help me to read box sets, to enable me to watch telly. But go the way of the cross. That takes a miracle. That takes him working in me. So go his way. Go his way. And when you do, you will experience the power of the risen Christ. You'll come home from being with people on the streets. You'll come home from a conversation with a friend. You'll come home from Uganda. You'll come home from a summer camp you're doing online, and you'll go, wow, that was amazing. I never could have done that alone, but he gave me power to do it. And, you know, though it was really hard, I'm glad I did it. Because through the loneliness of it, or the tiredness of it, or the abuse you get for it, or the way you were misunderstood because of it, just the sheer cost of it, through that you experience the things that Jesus experienced. You experience them with him. And you've got to know him better. You want to know Christ better? Go the way of the cross. And secondly, keep on going the way of the cross all the way to heaven. Keep on going the way of the cross all the way to heaven. Paul wants to know Christ better and better and better. He can't wait to be raised with Christ, but he's very aware that he's not yet there. You see the beginning of verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. I'm not yet there. I don't yet know Christ as well as I could. I've not yet been raised with him, but verse 12, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Hear that language? That for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He took hold of me. Similar idea in verse 14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards. He has called me. Just clock this. Notice the Christian life is not us trying to grab hold of Christ somehow. It is Christ has grabbed hold of you. And why? Why did Christ grab hold of you? What is the that for which he took hold of you? It's the things of verses 10 and 11. So that you could know him. And one day be raised to be with him forever. Friends, that's why he took hold of us. That's where he's taking us, raised to life with him in a world made new. I think we need to just pause a moment and take this in, because we're sometimes quite good at talking about what we've been saved from, We've been saved from the judgment of God. We've been saved from an eternity cut off from God. But we're not always so good at talking about what we're saved for. Do you see what we're saved for? Do you see he has got hold of us? Why? So that we can know him. We are saved for relationship with him. One that starts now, and then over the years, we get to know him better and better and better and become more and more like him until one day we are raised from the dead to be with him, and we'll see him face to face, and we'll know him perfectly, and we'll be like him perfectly. That's the future that Christ has got hold of us for, knowing him. And a clear sight of the future helps you to work out what matters in the present. If I say, okay, pack your bags, I'm taking you on holiday tomorrow, what are you going to pack? It's hard, isn't it? Because you need to know where we're going, don't you? You need to know, is it mountains or is it beach? Should I be packing walking boots or a wetsuit? See? And we live in an age that has no sense of where the future is going. So we're not sure what we're packing for. It means we're not really sure what really matters, what we really need to pack into our days. So we're just filling our lives with anything and everything. And we're trying to do well at work. And we're trying to go on great holidays. And we want lovely homes. And we want wonderful relationships. And we're hoping some of these things that we're packing into our lives, we're hoping some of them will turn out to be the right things, that will turn out to be useful in some way. But we're not sure what is the thing that really matters, the thing we should pack into our days, the thing we should give our lives to, above all other things. And it seems to me that Christians in the West are infected by the spirit of the age in this. We're not clear about the future. So we're not really sure what's really worth packing into our lives, what's really worth living for. We're kind of half living to know Jesus better, but we're kind of half living for a comfortable retirement. If I say to you, I'm taking you to Cornwall, you've got clarity. You know you don't need the ski goggles. You know you need to dig out the wetsuit. Paul's got clarity about the future. The future is knowing Jesus. And when you get that, you see that whatever you do in your life, there is only one thing that matters. There's one thing that matters more than anything else. Knowing Jesus. See, the future is knowing Jesus. So that's what I give myself to today, knowing Jesus. If the future is Cornwall, and I pack skis and no wetsuit, it's a disaster. If the future is knowing Jesus, that's where this world is heading. I just live for my retirement. Disaster. You see, Paul, he's got this really clear sight of the future. The future is knowing Jesus. So today he just wants to press on to know Jesus better. That's what matters most to him. By the end of his time in prison, he wants to know Jesus better than he knew him before he went to prison. And to explain that, he uses this picture of a running race. Did you catch that in verse 13 and 14? Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. He's saying the Christian life is like a running race. Not in the sense that it's a competition. The point is, in a race, when do you stop running? At what point in the race do you stop? When you get to the end. You don't say, oh, I did a great first bend, brilliant first bend. I think I'll stop there. I'll quit just there. Brilliant. The whole point of the race is not just to run to the first bend brilliantly, but to run to the end, to keep going till you get to the end, to win the prize. At the end of the Christian life, there is this wonderful prize waiting for us, a prize won for us by Jesus, the prize of knowing him perfectly forever. And Paul is saying, till you get there, keep running, keep wanting to know him better and better and better. And you see, Paul's ambition to know Jesus has transformed his experience of prison. It's meant prison is not a complete waste of time. He's lost everything. But even in prison, his life is injected with meaning, because he's able to give his days to the one thing that really matters, getting to know Jesus better. That's why he's so full of joy. His life's not been ruined. Even in prison, his life has not been ruined, because his life is all about knowing Jesus. And it seems to me that tuning in to Paul's ambition to know Jesus better has power to transform our experience of lockdown. Because all our other ambitions, you know, we want to get promoted, or we want to move house, or we want to go on holiday, or lose weight, or make music, or see friends, that they may all have been cancelled by lockdown. And we may feel so frustrated. You may feel like life is on hold. But you see, if your ambition is to know Jesus better, better than you did before all this started, that is an ambition lockdown cannot cancel. It means this time is not a waste of time. Your life is not on hold. Because now is a chance to grow in your relationship with him. Now is a chance to grow in the one thing in your life that matters more than anything else. Maybe some of us stopped on the bend we were running on at start of lockdown. Just, this is as far as I go. Or maybe it was 3 years ago or 10 years ago. And you were running really well. There was that great summer camp. You remember? Or at university, the time you had in the Christian Union, or the early years when you first became a Christian, you're on fire. But then you ground to a halt. You've not really kept going. You've not kept growing in your relationship with him. You don't really feel you know Jesus better today than you did 10 years ago, because you've settled. And Paul doesn't settle. Paul says, I don't want to stop on the bend and say, well, this is about as well as I want to know Christ. He says, I'm going to keep running. I want to know Christ as well as I can know him, better and better, until I stand with him. And the truth is, the reason that so many of us stop, we settle, we reach the limit of knowing him, is because we reach the limit of being prepared to go the way of the cross. I'll obey him up to a point, but no further. So I'm not going to forgive my sister because that's too costly. I'm not going to work on my marriage because that'll be too hard. I earn more than I used to, but I find I've become less generous than I was, because to give this amount away feels like more of a sacrifice. Or I'm not prepared to stay single for Jesus, not anymore. Or I used to talk about serving the Lord overseas, but not now. I've got commitments here now. Or I used to be unashamed to tell my friends about Jesus, but now I'm very worried about my reputation. You see, we've reached the limit of going the way of the cross, which means we've reached our limit of knowing him. We said this far and no further. And that's why we're stuck in our relationship with him. We've stopped going the way of costly obedience. We've stopped going the way of the cross. Cecil's gone out bird watching. We've stayed at home. Paul says, no, you've got to keep going. You've got to keep running. And you say, but it's hard. Yes. Yes. But the way to know Christ and the power of his resurrection is to participate in his sufferings and to become like him in his death. It is to go the way of the cross. And you say, but it's hard. And Paul says, yes, but it's worth it. Because as we do, that's when we experience resurrection power. That's when we get to know him better and better. It's hard. It costs us. It means sacrifice. But we end where we started. Paul wants Philippians and he wants us to see that, you see, knowing Jesus is better than anything else. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's costly. Yes, there is sacrifice, but this is the one prize worth running for. Every other prize we run for, every other ambition we make sacrifices for, we give things up for, we give ourselves to, every other prize will be destroyed by death and will end in dust. But this prize, knowing him, it's the one prize worth running for. It's the one prize worth giving up everything for. And if you don't believe me, if you're not sure if living flat out for Jesus, going the way of the cross is worth it, let's talk again in 1,000 years' time. And let's talk then about whether this prize, this being raised to be with him forever in a world made new, let's talk about whether this prize is worth running for. Let's pray. Paul says, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Our Father, we pray that we'd be people who give ourselves to one thing above all others, to knowing Jesus better, growing closer and closer to him, becoming more like him. And we thank you that though that is a race that is costly to run, we thank you that it is the one prize worth running for. We praise your name. Amen.
One question for you. Headline answer for this. This is a top vote at the moment. Does this mean the Christian should always choose the harder option because it is harder? I've got a choice with a good person I get on with really well and a person that would be harder to live with. Should I just choose the person be harder to live with?
No, because there are other factors you might want to bear in mind. But I think we live in a culture and we are people who seek the path of least resistance and want to go the easier way. And Jesus calls us to do difficult and costly things. And we shrink back from that. We say, I don't want to spend an evening with this person, or I don't want to uproot my life and go and live in this place, or I don't want to say no to this relationship. These are hard things. And we live in a culture that says you just got to go with what you feel, and that's how you will feel fulfilled. And the gospel says, no, actually, you've got to go the way of Christ, and actually that's how you will be fulfilled, because that's how you'll get to know him better. And some of the reasons we don't know him very well is because we are so soaked in this culture that says avoid the hard things. And following Jesus will take us into some hard choices, hard situations. But there will be times of blessing because we will get to know him better. So don't shrink back from hard. don't just look for comfort and ease. That's our tendency. It's mine. And that's what this calls us to sort of guard against.
So choose to follow Christ rather than choosing hardship per se.
Oh, yeah. You're not sort of perverse. What's the hardest thing I can think of? But in a matter of obedience, when Jesus is calling me to do this, do it. It will be hard. Do it. He'll be with you.